Good evening, church. For those of you who are here for the first time, you're welcome once again. And I pray that God would meet you at the point of your need and that you will be blessed, continue to be blessed this evening. I'd like to thank my brothers and sisters from the NG4C for that thought-provoking skit. And as I've been tasked, as I've been tasked with sharing this brief message, we've already gone off to a funny start. I'll try to continue on the same thread as they have. Honestly speaking, I should be the last person to stand here simply because just as you've seen this skit, I too have struggled now and from time to time with areas, submitting areas of my life to God. And so I don't want to presume to preach to you, but if I end up doing so, I hope that you'll forgive me. In fact, this message here now is, I would say, first for me and then for you. The message simply this evening, the core of it basically, is our relationship with God and the choice that He has given us. Now, one of the best ways I find to bring an idea or a message across is through an analogy or through a theme that we can all easily identify with. And so the analogy that I'd like to use this evening to bring across this message is the relationship that we have between parents and children. To get started with, I'd like to quickly invite you into a simple activity. It is not a physical activity. I know you've all had a long day. It's a simple activity of your heart and mind. I'd request you to close your eyes for a few moments. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to still your hearts and minds. And I'd like you to think back in time. I'd like you to go back to a time in your childhood when you were the most contented, the most joyful, the most simple, the most innocent. Do you remember that phase in your childhood when you looked up to your father as a hero? You looked forward to seeing him come home. And when he promised you something with childlike faith, you just knew he would deliver. This night, I invite you to become like little children for the duration of this brief message. Because the Bible reminds us in Matthew 19:14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So let us now, you and I, continue further as little children. Now I'm certain that when you all were little kids, when we were all little kids, right? Our parents loved us unconditionally. Just as I'm sure those that are parents now, you know you love your kids unconditionally, am I right? Now, there are times when you would have disobeyed, you would have rebelled, you would have said and done things that would have hurt them, that would have broken their hearts. And yes, they would have been upset, they would have gotten angry, they would have been hurt. But at the end of the day, they still loved you, am I right? Why? Simply because you come from them, right? You are a part of them. Now let's continue further. Your parents, as children, your parents would have had certain rules, regulations, maybe a standard for you to follow, right? They expected you to obey. They would have had certain expectations of you. Now basically, what were these standards set up for? Simply that if you kept those instructions, if you kept their standards, that would keep you safe and it would help benefit you in every area of your life. Am I right? Why did our parents give us those instructions? Why did they give us those standards? Was it because they were control freaks and they wanted to control everything we said and did? No. It's one, because they've already seen life. They knew what was right and wrong, and most importantly, they loved you and they wanted nothing but your good. Now, this being the case, how many of you can confidently say that you were model children, absolutely upright in all your ways? I'm sure the answer is none of us. We've all had our rebellious ways, we've all had our wayward phases, some more than others, right? Now, in those times when we took our parents' love and care for granted, when we ignored and flouted and disobeyed their instructions, we suffered consequences. Not only did we end up hurting ourselves, we also hurt them. Now, sometimes these consequences of our disobedience and of our rebellion and waywardness may have been so severe that such that on our own as children, it would have been very difficult for us to pay those prices. And in such times, I'm sure our parents would have stepped in. Am I right? By now, I'm sure most of us can see where I'm going with this analogy. You see, in the same manner that we have come from our folks, our parents, all of us, all of humanity has come from our Creator, God, our Father. Genesis 1:26 reminds us that God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Acts 17:26 and 28 says, "He made them from one man, every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children." And what was God's reason for creating us? What was our purpose? Simply that we would know him as our heavenly Father and that we would have a love relationship with him both now in this life and for eternity. Now here is the crux. In creating us, God did something that truly is proof of his true and unconditional love for us. He created us with free will. He created us with free will to choose him or reject him. And in order for us to live in harmony with him, he put his moral law, his eternal law in our hearts. Romans 2:14 and 15 says, "Even Gentiles who did not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own consciences and thoughts either accuse them or tell them that they're doing right." However, sadly, our forefathers chose to disobey and break God's laws, and we have been doing so ever since. And this is what sin is. And the consequence of sin is death and eternal separation from God our Father. Romans 6:23 reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this consequence of sin is so severe that there is no price we can humanly pay to make restitution. Isaiah 64:6 says, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind." However, God in his great love and mercy, knowing that we cannot ever pay the price for our sins, took the form of man, came to us as the only begotten Son of God, Christ Jesus, to take our sins upon himself and to pay the price for all of humanity, past, present, and future, by his death on the cross. John 3:16, that verse on which our faith is anchored on, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And 1 Peter 3:18 further reminds us, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit." Now, once again, God shows us his unfathomable love. Not only did he pay the price for our sins by giving his Son Jesus for us, he once again gives us a choice to accept or reject that payment that he has made. And how do we know this? Romans 10:19 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And finally, as we have seen in today's skit, the invitation, Jesus himself in Revelation 3:20 invites us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." This evening, if you've followed this analogy, and if you've understood its message, and if you've been able to identify where you stand, and if until tonight you did not know of God's purpose for you, you did not know his love for you, and you did not know the price that he has paid for you, and the choice that he has given you, I sincerely urge you to think on these things and to think about the choice that you will make tonight. Will you ignore his love and the price that he has paid? Or will you accept his love and the price that he has paid for you and his purpose and plan for your life? Will you choose to open the door of your heart as he knocks? And those of us who have already invited Jesus into our hearts and who know him as our Lord and Savior, are we continuing to submit every area of our lives to him? When I say this, I speak to myself first. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to transform us into the image of his Son, Jesus? Thankfully, as long as we have breath and as long as we open our hearts to him, we are still his work in progress. So help us, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daryl, for that message. I think I will just take it from there. And just close your eyes, please. If you don't mind, you just close your eyes. You have heard the word of God. And I'm not going to take much time here. You have seen the drama. The Lord is at the door and knocking. With everybody's eyes closed. And you're out there. You want to invite him into your life. Just take a moment and say, "Lord, come into my life." It's time for you to make that commitment with God. I'm not there with you. It's just between you and God. If you have heard this message, we don't care where you are, where you're coming from. You must have seen a drama where he was. But Daryl says he's a loving father. He's willing to come in and to go to every compartment of your life. Just say this prayer with me. "Lord, come into my life. I accept I'm a sinner. Come and be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge you died for me on the cross. And I accept this gift of salvation. Wash me and make me whole again." As the Bible said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And as you have confessed with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Hallelujah. And if you have made that prayer, please seek one of the elders of the church after the service. Let us further pray with you and to guide you along discipleship. Praise the Lord. I'm not asking anybody to raise his hand, but you know yourself. I'll be available after the service, and the leaders will be available at the service. And the Lord will bless you as you come forward in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.